Okay, if you, here, you guys got a Bible? Everybody got, here's one or two. You guys might want to look at this. I mean, seeing it's believing it, sometimes it's hard to believe that it said that when you don't see it with your own eyes. Because there are many things and many passages that are omitted and not talked about or skipped or twisted and changed or attitude taken away, all of the above. And when you start to see it, you begin to open your eyes. And I think the best thing that can happen to anybody is they're provoked to ask a question. And that is, well, what if it's not the way we've been told? Or what if it's not how we've been taught? Or what if this, that, and other? I think that's a good thing. So I really feel that we should never be afraid to ask a question. And that's gotten me in a lot of trouble over the years asking questions because some things I heard didn't resonate with me. You know, it just didn't fit right. And so, logically speaking, so much of what we have been taught to just believe and just have faith, those are the things we've been taught, just believe and have faith. And if you'll do that, the unbelievable things, you can just accept them by faith. And I kind of had a problem with that. So I thought, well, if they're unbelievable and my consciousness is saying that can't be true, then how could it be true? And then, of course, they'll come back with you with the ideas, well, with God, all things are possible. Even the unbelievable and impossible things are possible. And there's a semblance of truth in that because, obviously, God is unlimited in its power and its ability, but yet God doesn't break its own eternal laws. And the eternal laws are commissioned, or they are set in motion, and those laws aren't as many as we would think that they are. And once we see that, or we start to embrace that, you know, like for instance, the teachings of Abraham, Esther Hicks, they're phenomenal teachings if you can hear what source is saying through her, but many people don't, and especially the Christian community, we have a hard time hearing what she was saying. You know, like the law of allowing, the law of creating, those are eternal laws. They are laws that are set in motion by source itself. And what we don't recognize or realize is source sets things in motion. God, in other words, sets things in motion without judgment. And we have a difficult time with that because we have accepted a God that sits on a throne of judgment. And that's not the creator of the universe. It doesn't judge, it just sends forth. It just sends this forth. And we can receive that energy, and then out of the results of being a receiver of that energy, we can create a life of chaos from the power of that energy. And wonder why this is happening to me. And we do that. We do that pretty regular. And then we ask, well, what's going on? What's happening? And if we wake up, we start to see what's happening. And we're at a time of the year. And to illustrate this time of the year, let me do this. Because it's hard to do anything without doing this. And everybody can see that. And so, what is that? What do we call that? We have a name for that.
Cardinal Cross.
We call it the Cardinal Cross. It's the cross. And I say this quite often. It's the most ancient glyph and universal glyph in the world. So therefore, that glyph is everywhere, no matter where you go. It goes back in time infinitum. So, you know, as far back as they can find on temples or on caves or in different places, it's just everywhere. However, everything in Scripture, the book we call the Bible, is hung on that. It's hung on that cardinal cross or on the cross. And so I want to look at that and see that it's not necessarily referring to the man, historical man, Jesus, hanging on a cross. It's referring to the typological man, Jesus, as all mankind, male and female, hung on the cross. And that cross is a universal energy or power that I'm talking about in the beginning that's creative. without bias and without judgment. Now, we have a statement that we say, and that is God loves unconditionally. Have you ever said that statement? But yet, when we get into Christianity, there's so many conditions on God's love. Have you ever noticed the contradiction in that? I mean, God will love you if. If what? If you jump through these hoops, if you'll believe this. If you don't believe that, God don't love you. He'll burn you until you become a crispy critter. So, you know, we have these, is God's love unconditional? Well, the answer is absolutely yes, it is. So then God does love you unconditionally, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I.e., there's no conditions on that. So does God love you if you're a murderer? Yes, God loves you if you're a murderer. Does God love you if you're a rapist? Yes, God loves you if you're a rapist. Does God love you if you strive to be holy? Yes, God loves you, period, period. It's man that don't. It's humankind that don't. It's humankind that puts all these conditions. And the scriptures are full of what I'm saying. So I want you to go with me, because we are at this time of the year, right here, and we will emphasize this time of the year. This is the first sign. This starts on March. You may already see it. The 21st. This glyph starts on April the 21st. Okay? And this is Aries, the ram. Aries, the ram. I'll just put the glyph and not the ram or the lamb. Aries, the ram or the lamb. And the ram or the lamb is the story where Abraham comes into play. Do y'all remember the story of Abraham? And he was going to sacrifice his son. Y'all remember what happened? Exactly. And he's got the knife drawn back and he's ready to kill his own kid. Now you have to realize that that's a really hard story to see. That God wants you to go ahead and kill him. Just go ahead and kill your own son. And see, we get really messed up with these stories, not understanding the stories are astrological. Not understanding they're not literal. It's not a literal story. But yet, since God sees his obedience, remember, do you remember where Abraham come from? Abraham came from Ur. You are of the Chaldeans. Do you understand the word Ur is the same identical word for Ur or for light? So where did Abraham come from? He come from the light. So is he a literal character? No. Paul tells you very clearly in Galatians chapter 4 that the story of Abraham and Sarah are allegorical. That simply means they're mythology. They are fabulous tales filled with types and shadows. Now, wait a minute. I'm going all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 to talk, Genesis chapter 11 to talk about Abraham. Abraham, in Paul's writing in Romans chapter 4, says that Abraham is the father of the whole human race. Well, I thought that Adam was. Well, Adam as a cell is the creative aspect of God in the material world. See, all of these characters have different meanings about this creative energy or source or power that we call God. And if we could understand these characters better, in other words, how they were told in a story, like Abram come from Ur, he come from the light. He didn't come from a physical mom and dad. He came from the light, just exactly like you and I. We came from the light source through the seed of our father into the material egg of our mother that created us. Now, that's not hard to even believe. You know why? Because it's logical and rational. Anybody can accept that. But when we get deeper and deeper into, like, the seed of our father, we say, well, that's just plasma that's created within the physical body for this purpose. There's a lot more into that seed than just that. That seed is made up of a material that's called light and a material that's called water or mitochondria. And the combination of those light and water creates this thing called dust in Genesis 2:7. And that Hebrew word is called afar, which means particles of light, or dust powder. Powder. It's so minute, so small, so it can't be seen, but it's light. And that's what creates, that's the energy behind light, L-I-G-H-T, is life, L-I-F-E. And so I want to get into that this morning because we are at this time of the year between March the 21st and April the 21st. In other words, we call this Aries. And then we have a term that we use, and that term is pass over, right? Y'all are familiar with that term, right? Passover, Paschal in Hebrew. It's Paschal. We want to look at that because we want to understand what that means and what does it entail when we look at the Scripture. So go with me to Exodus chapter 12. And if you will, get your index and just put you a marker somewhere in your index simply because I want you to look at, a lot of Scripture with me. Because what I'm going to say, and I know this and I say this often, what I'm going to say is very controversial. Now, I don't purposefully study and put my messages together and say, bless God, I'm going to be controversial today. I don't do that at all. I promise you, I don't. I just study and I find out all this stuff and I'll be doggone if it ain't controversial. And the reason it is we've just been so deceived for 1,700 years. And that's hard for us to accept. Shouldn't be, but it is. It's hard because people get locked into their beliefs, their ideologies, and the things that they have consciously believed. Whether they're right or wrong, get locked into it. So look at this passage with me. First place that this word Passover is found in the Scriptures is Exodus 12, verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, whose Passover is it? Is it the Jews' Passover? What does it say right there in your Scripture? It says that it is the Lord's. Now, that term is first used in Genesis 2:7. And what we have applied that term to is a person. And that person we named Jehovah. Comes from this glyph, and I'll put the glyph up here, the Yud. That's what the Yud, it's the smallest glyph in the Hebrew alphabet. The Yud, the He, the Vav, or Wav, the He. And that word, Yud, He, Vav, He, is where we get the word Jehovah. We get that word Jehovah by adding vowel points to these four glyphs. These four glyphs points out the four cardinal points. In other words, they point out March the 21st, Aries. They point out June the 21st, which is the twins, Gemini. They point out September the 21st, which is Libra. And they point out December the 21st, which is Capricorn. That's the four cardinal points. Those four cardinal points on the cross also represent carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. They also represent fire, earth, air, and water. And then it'll repeat it again three times. Fire, earth, air, and water. And then again, fire, earth, air, and water. So those four cardinal points are the Lord. Now, do you remember Abraham was called what? The Lord. And so, you know, you can have your wife call you the Lord. It's a little joke there. What is the Lord? The Lord is the man, physical man, woman. It's the human being. That's what it is. It's the creative energy of this astrological wheel called Elohim, or the gods, G-O-D-S's. See, all these things I'm saying have controversy just stamped all over them. But when you look at this word Paschal, that's how that word is pronounced in Hebrew, Paschal. You look at the glyphs that's in this word, it has the pe or the fe, which is has an 80 value, which 80, follow me with this, 8 is this What is that? When I lay the 8 down sideways, what is that? Infinity. Well, what do you think of when you think of infinity? Timelessness. Time without end. That's what infinity represents. But you see, this symbol lays right here on this sign, right here, just like this. And repeats itself. And it's from that symbol of infinity, that 8 laid on its side on the equinox, that creates spring, summer, fall, and winter. Creates the 4 seasons. It creates morning, noon, evening, and midnight. Now, so the day is not any different than the year, and the year is no different than the day. And all you have to do is watch these cardinal points. And the scriptures are built on this kind of mythology. So the Hebrew glyphs or the Hebrew letters have all of this information encompassed within them individually. And if we put them together like Yod, He, Vav, He, collective, put a group of them together like that, they have tremendous message in them. A problem has been is they have tried to take all of this beautiful wisdom and knowledge and turn it into a history and therefore nullify it, actually take it and neuter it so that it's powerless instead of powerful. So we can look at it and say, well, yeah, Abraham could do all of that because God was with him. I can't. Well, that's the whole problem. Abraham is you. Jesus is you. David is you. All of these characters in the story are you. And they're about you and how that you are made up of this energy. So the Paschal is 80, which has the symbol of infinity with a zero. It just simply means that infinity now is deposited in time. So that's the first glyph in this particular word. And this word has 3 glyphs in it. The Pei, the Shemach. The Shemach has a 60 value. And the 6 is, that's this glyph right here. The Vav, that's number 6. And the Vav always is the number for man or humanity. Right? Everybody pretty well associates the number 666. What do they call it? The mark of the beast. It just simply means that you're living by the energy of your physical strength. Probably 999,999.999 all people do. They live by their physical ability, not by their infinity. Not by their spiritual, not by their divine ability. Why is that? I'm going to give you one word. Ignorance. That's the only reason. It's simply because, why are we ignorant? Because we have not been taught the truth. It isn't anybody's fault necessarily. If you've been taught a lie and you've taught to believe the lie and call the lie the truth, you're believing a lie thinking it's true. And I will promise you, I can just about take any religion in the world and put it in that category. Believe a lie, call the lie the truth, and think that that'll serve you. And it won't. It can't. It never has, and it never will. So these things, we see these things. This, number 6, this particular glyph, Shemach, actually means that divinity or humanity now is in duality. What does that mean? Duality. It's made up of matter, spirit, spirit, matter. So it's, again, it's dual. And then the last glyph in this is that glyph. Chaot or Heot. So that's the Hebrew word Passover. And what this means, this word Passover, has to do with the daily movement of the sun and the moon and the yearly movement of the sun and the moon through the astrological wheel. That's what this term Passover has to do with. So I know no one has ever told you that. I know no one has ever put that idea in your thinking. But I want you to follow me with some things. Now, since I said that, I want you to go with me to the book of Isaiah. Just go to Psalms, and right behind Psalms, you'll You'll find Isaiah not far over there. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Any questions that you have, just blurt them out. We'll see if we can work with them, because I know that the things will be going to be different right here. Okay? Isaiah chapter 1, and look at verse 11. Everybody found it there? It says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" And I would say, Selah. Now you see, you are already taught to believe that Passover is something that God instituted as a sacrifice because He couldn't bear you as a people. Right? Yeah, right. You know good. Well, that's what you're taught. Why? Because you are so sinful. He can't bear to be with you. He can't bear to see you. He can't bear his own children. Why? Why are they so sinful? Well, the mother of all of us screwed all of us. I mean, pardon that. The mother of all of us brought all of us down. Isn't that what they told us? Who was that? Who was that mother that did that to us? Who? Eve. Well, see, you were told that. The Bible doesn't say that. Nowhere in the Scripture will you even find that. But you're told that, right? And I'm way out on a limb when I... Nowhere in Scripture will you find that. But you're told to believe that. So you're told that since you have this problem and God can't stand you, then somehow or another God has got to institute a sacrifice to just put up with you until He can somehow or another fix you. There ain't nothing wrong with you all the time. But we're told that, right? Boy, you are quiet. So I hope you... Well, watch this. Now, I'm not making this up. You reading it right here in your own Bible. He says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings, of rams." Now, see, there you go. He says, I'm full up with what you're doing. Look what it says. I am full of your burnt offerings, of your rams, of the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and lambs or goats. Now wait a minute. Is this what God's saying? He's saying your barbecue's not impressing me a bit. That's what He said. I'm not a bit particularly happy with anything that you're doing to offer me. Well, I know nobody's ever read you that passage of Scripture. They're going to leave that one out, aren't they? They don't want you to see that one. Let me go with me to Jeremiah. Just right there next door, Isaiah. And just flip on over there real close. Jeremiah chapter 6. I realize this is a shock to the ears of people who are gathering all across this nation this Sunday and next Sunday. Some people don't even come to church but twice a year. Did you know that? Yes. Look at this. They come to church on this particular sacrifice called Passover. We call it Easter Sunday. And they come to church on this particular sacrifice. They call it December the 25th, or the birthday of the Lord. And it ain't neither one of those that are pleasing to God in a literal sense. But they are pleasing to God in an astrological sense. And if we can ever get that, and I want you to see something here in just a little bit after we finish. We just open that door right there next to Kirby. I built that big concrete pad, and that concrete pad has about a 2-inch step down from the threshold of the door. So the fire marshal told me I needed to build a tapered concrete pad so that a wheelchair can smoothly go across the threshold. And so I built a taper on top of the concrete pad. And when you open that door, you'll see right there in the middle of that concrete is a little green plant coming right up through the concrete. Now that's the power of what life is. That's the power of what this particular sign is about. And that power is resident inside you and me on a continual basis. And we only experience this particular time of the year. We call it Easter. We experience this once of the year, but we experience this every day and don't even recognize it at sunrise. That energy rises in you every day to produce that kind of life that nothing in the physical world can stop it. And if we can embrace that and realize, I'm not supposed to just rejoice on Easter Sunday whenever it falls between March and April. I'm to rejoice every day because this it happens every single day, spring, summer, fall, and winter. That power is constantly in me to life me and to life through me whatever I want to create. If I want to create chaos, it will give me abundance of it. And does it all the time. So right here, Jeremiah, look at this in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 20. Hard to believe passages. To what purpose comes there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from the altar? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Sound like God doesn't like them?
Well, that blows wind out of the water.
It just blows everything out of the water, don't it? God said, I'm not a bit pleased with what he's saying. I'm not pleased with you killing a lamb, slitting its throat, shedding its blood, and you think that makes me happy. Putting it on an altar and burning it. Or you get a fatted calf and a fatted cow and kill it, and you're thinking that's what's pleasing me. Look at chapter 7. Same book, Jeremiah chapter 7. Look at verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I speak not unto your fathers, I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Well, where in the world did they get that idea? God said, I didn't tell them to do that. Notice what it says. But, this verse 23, but this thing I command them, saying, obey my voice. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all of the ways that I have commanded you, and it may be well with you. Well, to obey that voice, that's an internal voice. That's not an external voice, folks. That internal voice is within you. We always want to sacrifice, don't we? I'll go on a fast. God, I'll fast for 3 days. I'll fast for a week. I'm going to sacrifice for you. I'm going to do other. And God, you know what God said? No, I really prefer you gain knowledge and obey the voice. Go with me now to another verse of Scripture. Hosea, over there in the Minor Prophets. Don't pass Daniel. Yeah, we're over there. Go back. It's Matthew. And go back about five or six books and you'll find Hosea. Daniel, then Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. I remember years and years ago when I was a young pastor. Gosh, our church was big and growing and had a lot of people in it. We would gather, a lot of us would gather every Easter on sunrise. We had what we would call sunrise service. Now, I did that for several years, and we would to watch the sun come up. You know, so we'd gather whatever time the sun was going to rise, between 6 and 7 o'clock. And a bunch of the people, leadership of the church, would gather, and we would watch the sun rise. And the sacrifice, we were thanking God for the sacrifice of Jesus, of God killing His own Son for us. And that's what we were doing. We did it with good intentions. That our hearts were pure, and that's what we were taught, and that's what we thought. But we didn't realize, I had nobody ever teach me or tell me, that the rising of the sun was the sacrifice of God that was acceptable to God. It wasn't the slaying of a beast or an animal or the shedding of blood. And so, you know, I was just like everybody else. I was following a tradition that really didn't serve me, but I thought that it did. So, if you find that passage in, where did I tell you to go? Hosea 6. Look at Hosea 6, verse 6. For I desire, what does he say?
Mercy.
I desire mercy. Wow, now wait a minute. What does God desire? God desires mercy. And then God gives you grace. That's the story of Noah. The story of Noah is about the grace of God. And the grace of God is the ability of God that's already in you. So when you find the true story of Noah and the ark, you'll find it's the grace of God, which is the strength of God and the ability of God that's already in you to take you through any of the storms of life. So where does Noah live? He lives within me. How? By the grace of God. And I'm covered from by this mercy. And this mercy is unconditional love. Where God's not out there pointing out because I messed up or did something or that and the other. Look what he says. Verse 6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than your burnt offerings. So what is he saying? God said, I had rather you know than to offer me something. Well, what does that require of me? Well, that requires diligence of me on my part to make myself the living sacrifice. That's what's acceptable to God. Not a dead one, not something, not one that hung on a cross and had to die. God wants a living sacrifice. That's what's acceptable to God. And the living sacrifice has to have knowledge. That's what he's saying. Look here, we just take a sidestep back to chapter 4 right here in this same book, probably just on the opposite page from where you're at, and look at verse 6. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed. Why?
Lack of knowledge.
It's lack of knowing. What is that knowing, that gnosis about? Jesus said this in John 8. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's not what you believe. It's not having faith. It's knowing the truth. It's the truth that will make you free. If you know this kind of information and you begin to implement that information in your life, you can have nothing less than success. Success is just going to chase you down and run all over you. Why? Because you know who you are. You have this in your ability. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean storms won't come. Doesn't mean dark times won't come. They all will. Why? Because they are elemental. They are a part of the elements of the earth. That elemental energy of the earth is what we call evil. Why? Because that elemental energy is here. It's natural. It's cold. It's hot. It's up. It's down. It's inconsistent. And it will destroy you if it can or if you let it. But if you rise in the energy, the power of knowledge or gnosis, you will speak to the storm and say, be still, and it has to obey your voice. That comes from within your being. Not because you are religious or because you've done all the religious things that religious folks want you to do. Okay, you're Hosea, go with me now to Amos. Go with me to Amos. Just next door, if you turn over a page or two, you'll go to Joel and then you'll come right to Amos. Go with me to Amos chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Amos 5:21. He says, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your vows. But let this, King James says, judgment. You see that? Let judgment. But actually, it's referring to this particular sign right here, which we call Libra. Right here. And this is the pelvic. It's what we call the scales of justice. It's actually the pelvic. And it's between the pelvic, it's between the two, the right and the left. That's the Ra and Tov, that's good and evil. It's between the pelvic that you not only create, but it's between the pelvic that you balance to walk your life. And that's true, I don't care who you are, what race, color, whatever. So instead of calling this judgment, because we think of judgment is where, I got caught. And since I got caught, I did the crime, I got to serve the time. Right? Isn't that what we taught? So we're always trying to run away from the crime because we got caught. But if we were to begin to look at that and we begin to realize it's not a matter of me just doing something wrong or something that was bad or something that I shouldn't have done, that's inevitable. We will do that. We'll wander off the path. That's a part of this dimensional reality. That's a part of the elements that constantly draw at us and pull at us and this, that, and the other. Where we err is not to get back on the path. Or where we err is not to get back up. Where we err is to think that I'm lost. Or where we err is to realize that if I balance this out, then I will begin to get the reward. So balance instead of judgment is a clearer way to understand Libra. And that's difficult because you got to change a whole mindset of thinking. Have court systems that's built off this particular sign, Libra. But clearly, when you look at the Adam Kidmon, that's the God-man in the sky, or Jesus, or Adam, you lay that child in the womb, this is exactly where it falls. The pelvic falls here.
So anywhere that you see the word judgment, you should change that.
To balance. Yeah, balance is a much better and a very clearer, because always judgment has negative connotations to it. Balance never has negative ideas. You don't find anywhere a child, a baby, he has to learn balance to walk. Well, you think that he's got to learn judgment to do right? That's not true. He learns balance. He learns, you do this, you get these results. You do this, you get these results. You teach a child that. Or you don't teach a child that. And do you know what? Many of them, even though they're not taught, learn by the experiences. They fall down, they do this. You know what? When I was 3 or 4 years old, back then, the women wore lots of bobby pins in their hair. Y'all remember that. And my mama had bobby pins. And of course, and there was bobby pins. And I got a bobby pin, and I straightened it out. And that little plug in there in the wall, it had them two holes. That intrigued me. So I took that bobby pin and I stuck that thing in them two holes. And do you know what that thing did to me? Oh, buddy, it burnt them little old fingers up. Do you know what Lynn has done ever since then?
Yep.
I ain't never put nothing else in them holes like that, knowing that sucker going to get me, going to bite me. Well, that was bad. That was evil. But you know what? Out of bad and evil, I learned a good lesson. So I gained knowledge. Now if I hadn't gained any knowledge from that, and I could continue to do that, I could really hurt myself. You see what I'm saying? But we gain knowledge. That's the main thing, is we get knowledge. So Amos chapter 5 verse 21, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your vials, but let balance run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Wow. Well, in and as we start to do that, or we learn how to allow this to happen, or how we allow this to take place, it begins to change our life. Now, I want to read you something. Alvin Boyd Kuhn wrote this. It's a little book that he wrote back in the 50s, I'm not sure, mid to late 50s, a little small booklet, probably 65 pages. And the title of it is Easter, the Birthday of the Gods. Tremendous little book. Now I want you to listen to this, and gaining wisdom and knowledge, understanding, first off, of this cross, and to realize it's an ancient symbol and it refers to the marriage and the movement of the sun and the moon. It's always about that. It's always about that. The moon moves on this same wheel on 28-day cycles. The sun moves on it daily, on daily cycles. Now, the sun and the moon are moving together, but the moon is changing. The sun never changes. The sun represents the spirit. The moon represents the physical matter. The moon is emotional. The sun is stable. Every one of us are both sun and moon. Every one of us have the energy of both the sun, which is stable, powerful, and the moon, which is not stable and not powerful. All it can do is reflect the energy that's given to it. That's why many of us live life from a dark moon, because we reflect the negative energy through us. And it's not right and it's not wrong. It's not where you need to be brought under judgment. It's where you need to be brought under balance and realize, wait a minute, you got full moon too. You can experience that energy as well as you can the energy of a dark moon. You can experience the energy of the sun, which is always consistent and always moving. And I mean, this cross again speaks the whole gospel as well as everything in the Torah, the Old Testament foundation scriptures. Everything is in this particular symbol. Whether it be Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the creation of the earth, of the everything that lives on the earth, it's in this too. It's also in this wheel or in this cross or in this sign. You have all the ancient stories, mythologies, children's stories, Cinderella, Easter Bunny, you name it. I don't care. Christmas, Santa Claus, all of these stories are on this cross. And you know, most of us don't know that. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, that's a part of this story. All of these ancient stories, including the characters in Scripture, are on this cross. And that's why I continually go back and I continually talk about this. You can find it on every page in Scripture, period. And so understanding this cross would be just to understand the two, the flat horizontal, which deals with material matter, and the solstice, the vertical, the straight up and down, deals with the spirit, or the descent, or the fall of the divine into matter. So those two angles, understanding these two angles, this is masculine, that's the phallic, that always refers to resurrection, and then this vertical, this horizontal, the horizontal is always the feminine, and the masculine has to merge itself with the feminine. And that's creative ability. So you have the male and the female. You have God and matter. You have spirit and mother. All of those things are in this. So any story that you find in Scripture, you're going to find it in this cross. If you have an understanding and you have knowledge to how to interpret it. And I realize that that's difficult for us, but the realize understanding, first off, that we've been deceived for 1,700 years and accepting that, that's the first step, accepting that they've lied to me. They've just plain flat out lied to me. We believe the lie with good intentions. Now, listen to what Kuhn said with this. He said, the esoteric understanding of the Easter significance was in the early days so clear and evident that, be it known as historically a fact, the primitive Christians for the first 3.5 centuries celebrated the birth of the Savior on March the 25th. Really, he's saying they celebrated the birth of the Savior, which was really saying the Son has been born again or has risen out of the darkness of winter. The 3 days or 3 nights of the cold, dark winter are the 3 days and the 3 nights, which can be interpreted as 3 months, December, January, and February. You remember Jesus rose after when? The third day. So this was a celebration, and it wasn't a celebration to kill and have a barbecue, even though that you always can have a good barbecue and eat, but to think that the blood of the sacrifice is what's going to make everything okay. For the celebration was to rejoice that everything is okay. There ain't nothing wrong here. Did I make a mistake? No, I had a big learning curve. Some people go way, way out on their learning curve. That wasn't a mistake. Especially if they come back and say, you know, I learned something from that. You know, it's so hard for us to look at our children and let them walk through their learning curves without judging, being judgmental. I mean, for me, I'm going to point myself. I had a difficult time because, bless God, I wanted to bring them out of that learning curve, walk the straight and narrow. You know, you got to walk the straight path. No. They have to learn and walk at their pace. All of us do. I don't care who we are, we all do, and we'll drop this concept and idea of judgment first, judging myself, and then from my judgment, judging everything around me, bless God. So he says, this custom was, the primitive Christians for the first 3.5 centuries celebrated the birth of the Savior on March the 25th. This custom was changed by a decree of Pope Julian II, who in the year of 345 ordained the shift to December the 25th. Now, when do churches celebrate the birth of Jesus?
December
the 25th, on Christmas Day. Why? Because in ancient mythology, that was the birth of the sun, S-U-N. Because the sun had been asleep, i.e. dead, for 3 days, i.e. wasn't visible to the physical eye from the northern hemisphere. In other words, you get up, like if you got up on the 22nd, you couldn't see the sun in the sky. And so if you can't see the sun in the sky, then wow, that's not a good thing. You got understand what? And you get up the next day, still can't see the sun. That's not a good thing. And you get up the third day and say, you still can't see the sun. Oh God, we're going to all die. We're going to perish. Wow, ain't no sun in the sky. We get up on the fourth day, hallelujah, there's the sun. We can breathe. Oh God, thank God. Once a year, this happens every year, and this is called, this straight up and down line is called the solstice, right?
Yes.
Sol, T-I-C-E, solstice. Sol is sun, right? Tis means still. Sun stands still. Why? It stands still right here, 3 days. Can't be seen. And then all of a sudden, the sun is born again. So, in all mythologies, December the 25th represented the S-U-N's birth date. Why? It was born again every year. Period. That's where the stories that you and I have been taught come from. And that's what this Pope did. He moved it from here to March the 25th at Easter. And so, anybody can, you can Google that, by the way. If you want to just check that and see if that's true, you can just Google it and you'll find out that's exactly what happened. And since that time, 326, Constantine and the Nicene Creed, and then the Pope Julian, who began to take over the reign under Constantine, Pope Julian II changed this decree in 345, and the decree stated that it was fitting that the Christians should be in accord with the customs of the followers of Mithra and Bacchus, which were Mithra and Bacchus were both Gnostic teachers of true Christianity. In other words, true Christianity was not based on history or something literal that happened to a man. It was based off these fabulous stories about the movement of the sun and the moon on this cross. And that's what Mithra and they were powerful, powerful movements who celebrated the rebirth of the solar deity at the winter solstice, which I just showed you right here, December the 21st to December the 25th. One must guess why so salient a fact of Christian history has been kept from the knowledge of the people. I would agree with him. None of you have ever heard what I just said. Nobody's ever told you that. Nobody ever told you that the Catholic Church, the Roman Church, under the reign of Pope Julian II, on purpose changed this. And do you know what? They took advantage of the mass majority of the Christian population. They took advantage of its ignorance. And that's exactly what money and power tries to do to us. It takes advantage of our ignorance and puts us in bondage, and we become a slave. We become a slave just exactly like we read there in Hosea. You can read the same thing in Isaiah. Isaiah says that you're gone into captivity. Hosea says you're destroyed. Why? Because we don't know. If they keep us ignorant, they keep us under their thumb. They rule and reign over us just exactly like they have and just exactly like they do. One must guess why so salient a fact of Christian history has been kept from the knowledge of the people. Prayers offered up in Christian worship in the earliest days of the faith were addressed to... I want you to hear this. I pray to God that you can hear this. Their prayers that they offered up in the early church were to... who? They were offered up to our Lord, the S-U-N, the Son. Why? Because it was the Son, which is our Lord, that give us light, which give us life. Without that light, we have no life. Light is also an association of knowledge, of knowing, of understanding. And so, it brings me to a couple of passages I want to share with you in closing, because it's just so much about the Passover, which is... the Passover is based off the movement of the moon, and it changes every year, so that every fourth year it will cycle. Every year it'll move to a different... you ever notice that Easter's never on the same Sunday? It never ever falls on the same Sunday. It always moves back and forth. It'll come from the end of March, around the 27th, 28th, 29th, to the middle, 20th, 21st or so of April. Like this year, it's the 21st of April. Then next year, it will fall along the 14th of April. And then the year after that, it'll fall around the 7th. And the year after that, it'll be the end of March. And then it'll start all over again. And actually, the Scriptures teach us that. They show us that. It's following that moon cycle. So it's the marriage of the sun and the moon, of the spirit and matter. That's what it's about. That's what that ancient knowledge and wisdom is all about. You know, and we see that. And that knowledge and that wisdom is about giving us life. So if you will, go with me to the book of Genesis, and I'll just kind of close on this particular note. There's just so much to this and so much information that it sometimes is kind of mind-boggling, and I realize that. Because you have to think now. Some people think that I have a lot of knowledge of this, and I don't think I have hardly any knowledge of this. I don't even think I've scratched the surface. I feel very ignorant about all of this information, even though... you got to realize I spent up over 40 years searching this kind of information, you know, and even a blind squirrel every now and then find a nut. And that's basically what I call my... I'm just a blind squirrel. I've found a few nuts along the way. So it's not that I have a lot of information and knowledge. I have a little, and I have learned that little I have serves me very powerfully, very, very well. And so, and I know that what little I have will serve me, because it's finding the truth, and I know it's the truth that truly sets you free. It's not the religious garbage we've been taught to believe. And all we have to do is just... you don't have to look at that. You don't even have to look at that through a magnifying glass. You just look at it in your own life, in your friends, people around you who have served this idea we've been taught to call Christianity. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. And this is kind of Genesis chapter 1. Verse 20. And I'm going to insert a word, a Hebrew word, in place of an English word here, so that you can follow me. And I'm just going to go through several verses of Scripture so you can follow me with these verses of Scripture. It's Genesis 1:20. It says, And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures. Now, the waters is always mythologically the story of matter, material matter. Like Jesus, the first thing that John does to Jesus is, what does he do? Baptizes him in water. Water stories are predominant. Moses was found as an infant in a river and drawn up out of what?
Water.
The water story. Why? Because the water stories always refer to the material aspect of your being, or the moon aspect of your being, the emotions. There's not a person here that's not emotional. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Have you ever caught yourself in one of those emotions? And have you ever noticed how those emotions want to rule you, run your life, control your life? And if you'll wait a few hours or tomorrow, you'll see that emotion's changed. And it ain't the same. Hello? Is that not true? Yeah, I know it is. And so we have to pay attention to the water stories, and everywhere they're at, they're always referring to the moon cycles. And the sun stories are not that way. The sun stories are always the same, even though different characters, different things happening. The sun stories are always referring to the energy at whatever angle, those are called angular, whatever angle the sun is at. Like when the sun is at this angle of Passover from 6 to 8 and from 8 to 10. When the sun is at these angles, it's the most powerful at any time during the day. So the sun from this angle right here, from 6 to 8, at this angle, it's more powerful than any other time during the day. Everything on earth comes alive at that time, at sunrise. Everything. Plants, birds, animals, humans. Everything begins to stir. Why? That energy, that angle of the sun hitting the earth. Now, we have this idea that the sun, it kind of wiggle wobbles away from the earth back and forth. But that's not true. The sun, if the sun is right here, and the earth is right here, that's how far away they are all the time. Well, how in the world do we, is the sun not getting further away from us in the wintertime? No. The only thing is happening is the earth is just doing this number. It ain't going nowhere. It's still the same distance. It's just changing the angle. That's all. The only difference in the angle right now of the sun and the earth, and the difference of the angle in December the 21st, the energy of the sun in December, is just the angle. It's just the angle. And so when we get to understanding that between 6 and 8, it's just like if you listen to Dr. Jack Cruz. I've told you all about Dr. Jack Cruz. Dr. Jack Cruz, between the hours of 6 and 10, he calls them the most important hours. He's what he calls a mitochondriac. He is a brain surgeon and brilliant. And he says that's the time he gets out in the sun, if he can, naked. So he has a little place in his backyard where he can get out in the sun and soak up that sunlight. Why? Because it's energy, it's power. It's like if we did that on a religious basis and you got out before the sun, and if you just took 10 or 15 or 20 minutes and you just got quiet to draw the energy from the sun, do you know what would happen to you? You would become a powerhouse of gnosis. Knowledge actually will be emanated and come to you through the sun. You say, well, how in the world can that be? Because the sun will energize you. It'll spur you. It'll put... You ever had a thought? An inspiration? Have you ever had that happen? Oh, well, then that would just begin to pour and flow through you. We don't have to stimulate those things. Those things are natural. That's the thing about all this. This is natural. It's called nature science. And it's always the same. It doesn't matter. Every year, even though the dates of Easter will shift those 4 weeks, because it shifts back and forth according to this angle, not the distance between them, just the angle, that energy will shift, but it's still the same energy. It's the energy to pull life through concrete. Something as fragile as a little bitty leaf. How in the world can a little leaf work through something as hard as concrete? Well, you see, you and me are concrete. And the leaf is the soul that's resurrecting and rising in power. And it pushes through a lot of our chaos, a lot of our screwed up thinking. It will still push its way through there if we expose ourselves to it. To the sun, to the energy. You know, it's just like it takes the discipline to do that, don't it? I don't do it all the time. I try to as often as I can to get that time to get before this essence, this energy, this S-U-N, this S-O-N, this G-O-D. I don't care what name you call it. Jesus. Buddha. Oh, God. Krishna. Bacchus. Horus. I don't, you know, the names are insignificant. I wish the Christians didn't get so mad at me because I would say that. It's the energy that's significant. Yes. It's the essence of God. That's what you want. If not holding on to a cross and a person is not going to empower your life. Holding on to the essence, the power, God, that's what will change your life. That's what will enter. That's what will give you a new thought. That's what will spur you with inspiration. And then you know what you'll do? I'll do that and then I'll have a thought. And I thought, wow, is the word life the same in Genesis 2, 9 as it is in Leviticus? And I just had a thought like that. And it just came to me and I said, but it has to be because life is life. No, it don't have to be if they've manipulated the Scripture. They could have changed it. And I'll just show you that. I'm going to prove that to you right here. Just so, verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life. I would just take that word and I would call that word che. Che. Or you could call it kai. Ka. Because of the way it's just spelled real simple. It's a real simple word. It's spelled with this... that's supposed to touch right here. The che, the cheot, that's this glyph right here. And the yod. Che. Real simple glyph or word. Cheot, yod. This is 8. So it's timeless. And this is 10. That's male, female. That's spirit matter. Yod or yud. Either way, it's the same thing. So it's timeless, the divine, and spirit matter. That's che. And it's called life. Notice that. So you look at it right here. Verse 20, it says, has life. Notice it says, has life. Now go with me to the second chapter. Skipping over here just real quickly. To the second chapter. And look at verse 9. It says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of, what does it say?
Life.
That's che. That's this right here. Now, my question was, in my contemplation, not because I knew anything, it's just I was in the sun, I was just meditating, I was just thinking, been there 10, 15 minutes, and that thought come to me, is life seems to be the first thing we see here mentioned in Genesis 2 is life. Now I'm thinking, well, is that word che the same as this word over here? Go with me now real quickly over to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Leviticus. Go with me to Leviticus. Chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 14. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Y'all see that? Now, is that Che? What would you think? Huh? You're saying yes? You kind of nod your head, yeah? No. That's the word nephesh. The word life is nephesh. And when I sing that, nephesh, I said, are you kidding me? That's the word nephesh? How could that possibly be? Nephesh. That is the nun, the fey, and the sheen. They're not even, they don't look alike. They're not spelt the same, but they're both translated for life. That's the word. Now watch what he says right here. He says, for it is the life, nephesh, of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. And I'm thinking, whoa, now wait a minute. Is Genesis 2:8 referring to blood? Che? Or is it referring to something else? See, then my mind is thinking. So now I've got this going on inside my mind. I'm saying, now wait a minute, because these are not the same. I know what nephesh is. Do you know what the word nephesh is always translated? 80 times out of 100, do you know what it's translated as? The soul. Most anybody knows nephesh is the soul. And that's exactly how it's used in Genesis 2:7. The soul. And it's the soul that's the breath of all life. Wait a minute. Well, that changes the scenario completely for me. And so what that happens is I begin to take a few nuggets that's taken me 40 years to get and hold on to because I know they're truth. And I start to put those little nuggets together and I say, ooh, wow, this is something totally different. Because when I can understand the Spirit is the power of God, and it ain't the same thing as the soul. And the soul is the knowledge of God, and it ain't the same thing as the Spirit. And I can clash the two together and create all kind of chaos and havoc. Just not knowing. Just not knowing what I'm doing. It's like not knowing to put a bobby pin in that little socket right there. It's going to burn me. And we do that. Why? People are destroyed. People are in captivity. It's not complicated knowledge. It's simple knowledge. Once we see it. And that's what we should be celebrating. Every, quote, church in the land, if they knew this wisdom, there would be much more reasons to celebrate this season, Paschal, this Passover, realizing that we are moving into a time of creative energy. We just simply are. Look at the earth and it'll show you that. The trees are blossoming. The earth is producing all green. Why? It's because of that energy. It's because of our Lord, the S-U-N, the Son.
And you're talking about the tree of life.
The tree of life, the Che.
This is the tree of knowledge.
The tree of nephesh, yes. Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? That's the one we're taught to stay away from.
Yeah.
The tree of knowledge of... Look, it's the knowledge of this. I can say that this is the Hebrew word Ra and Tov, T-O-V. That's the tree of right and left. I can do the same thing right here. This is Ra and this is Tov, T-O-V. In other words, I have right here in the throne room of God, which is the top of my head, which is Golgotha. Do you follow me with these words? What does John 19 say about Golgotha? What's another word for Golgotha?
The skull.
So where is this at? The skull, the ram, is in the right and the left hemisphere of my brain. Right and left hemisphere of my brain. Right, Ra. Left, Tov. Right and left. Ra and Tov. And here's what we've been taught to call it. Good and evil. right and left, good and evil, male and female. And you can make each one of them. You can say, well, the male's evil, the female's good. Or if you're a smart man, you say, the man's good, the woman's evil. And you're taught to believe that. You're taught to accept that kind of foolishness. And we have. I did it. I believed it and accepted it myself. Not knowing that this Ra and Tov, this up here, look at this. This up here in the throne room of God, under the skull, the 12-paired cranial nerve on the right hemisphere and the 12-paired cranial nerve on the left side of the hemisphere come back into one nerve. The 24 elders serve one nerve, which is my spinal column, and they serve the whole body. Well, as it is above the head, so it is below. There's a guy on YouTube, I think I've mentioned it to y'all before, Cullen Smith, little blonde-headed guy. He'll come on and he won't even have a shirt on. He'll have feathers hanging out of his hair. Now, you know he's smoking stuff, but I'm going to tell you, he's sharper than a tack. And he talks about, as it is above the belt, so it is below the belt. And he will begin to show you the organs, the gonads, the ovaries, the testicles, and how they are no different than the right and left hemispheres of the brain. And where does balance come? Its balance comes when I balance my head with my walk. I balance my walk with my talk. And I promise you, you ain't got that kind of balance at all in the Christian teachings that we've all been taught. They're so screwed up, it's ridiculous. I'm in trouble to say that, but God help us. So anyway, to be continued, we'll just pick up here. I want you to look at this because Easter is all about life. And it's not slitting a ram's throat that's pleasing to God. God said, I'm not interested in your sacrifice. Well, what did we call Jesus on the cross?
Sacrifice.
And what did we do to him? We had to take somebody, put a spear, and shove it right up through his side. Why? Because we're gory and bloody. We've got to have blood pouring and running. It's not about that. It's about...
I always said, you know, what I was always taught was the reason God did this for Jesus is because God didn't like our sacrifices anymore.
Yeah. I know. Well, okay.